Really happy now to be back with the Marblehead High School football coach, Jim Rudloff. And coach, it's been a while. I think we talked late spring or early summer, and here we are late fall, or at least mid-fall. How are you?
Great, great. All things considered, doing really well.
All things considered, man, that's that could make a radio. Anyway, tell me a little bit about how fall has gone, coach, because I know that originally the NEC was not going to have fall sports, and then some of the Danvers student athletes put together a rally that Marblehead attended, and Beverly and Masconomet and Danvers, and it sort of got the attention of officials, and so we did have, for want of a better term, a hybrid fall sports season. But football was allowed to practice, is that right?
Yeah, every school, the MIA left it up to the principals to decide, which in our case we were fortunate that, you know, we had been working out through the summer 4 times a week, you know, totally COVID compliant. We did it through the Marblehead Board of Health and Park and Rec, and ran basically non-sport specific. We had, you know, there was girls from the soccer team on there, kids from different sports participate with us, and we do, you know, non-sport specific stuff 4 days a week for a couple hours, and that was great because it got the kids outside. And then we wanted to transition, as we normally would, right into the fall sports season, but that couldn't happen. You know, there was so much worry and concern about getting back into the building and getting back into school that we decided to stop doing everything, really, you know, for the entire month of September. Nothing was done. There was nothing. And then on October 5th, about, we went back into school for the first time in the hybrid model, where kids were going back in for a portion of time. That's when what we're, you know, you could call a football practice started for us. We were doing them 3 days a week. Most of this, if you look at the fall, though, we couldn't have a practice if it rained out. Mm-hmm. And it was really interesting that almost every week we had to cancel at least one practice because of rain. But still, just to be able to get outside, and the practices weren't really football practices. You know, we tried to, you know, because of the way to be COVID compliant, the way you did things in pods and whatnot, it was more like having an hour and a half of individuals, than anything else, because you really couldn't get the kids together in any type of group and safely, under the rules, safely, do a, like a football practice.
So was it more of a sort of like a clinic rather than an actual high school football practice getting ready to play the game?
Yeah, you know, to be completely honest, as much as it wasn't at all what you wanted, you know, nobody would have said that they were happy with, you know, what you got out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's another side to it that, you know, during the football season, you might get 10 minutes early in the season, but maybe 5 minutes to do individuals.
Oh, okay.
where the position coach, you know, for the linebackers or for the wide receivers gets to work on very individual specific skills for what they're doing. And so the big complaint always during the season is there's just not enough time. So the nice thing was, something you never get to do, is you had the position coaches working with their position players on very specific things. So we really, you know, feel like that was great. You know, we think kids really got better at their craft. But we just can't test it against a defender right now. You can't,
right.
We couldn't really even put bags out for the kids to hit. We, you know, there's just so many different things, you know, at different levels would make you nervous. And so, you know, you always want to decide.
Yeah.
With caution.
You don't know where that germ's going to hide. That's crazy. But it's great to hear something positive come out of this. And that's, you know, that's always what we're looking for. In terms of attitude, coach, I want to start with the top. Start with you. Bring it down to your assistants and then down to the kids. What's the attitude been like this fall?
It's a great question because it really is three different layers. On my part, there's what you have to convey. And then there's the internal angst of what you really feel, that's the tough part, is, you know, trying to look at, you know, everything that's going on, make sure that you're being positive with your players and with anybody that is connected to football, that includes youth, you know, the youth football organization. You want to make sure that, you know, nothing kind of slows down the process of getting kids ready to get to the high school and be high school athletes. You know, again, talking specifically just about football.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. And then at the same time, you know, as a person, you're worried about it. You know, you're there's no right answer in this. You know, you want to insist that there be football, but at the same time, you're very conscious of your family and your surroundings and the dangers involved. So it was tough. You know, it really is. It's you're split right down the middle. But you know, the job is as head football coach, you're going to make sure that you project a positive image. And the good thing is I don't feel like, you know, I feel like everything stayed, it worked for, you know, and not that it, but that whole idea of doing that. And as teachers, we do it too. You know, it makes no sense to be negative. So moving forward, you know, everything, and it did work. You know, everything we kept saying was happening. You know, you guys, mm-hmm. if we can just be safe, if we can, this won't get shut down, we can keep going. And all of that did happen. And I think for the kids, it was a real roller coaster, because any bit of bad news to them was catastrophic, because at every day that went by, they were losing something that they weren't going to get back, especially if they're senior. They're not going to get it back. The winter season or the floating season that we're going to be playing in now is great, because we're going to get those kids are going to get an opportunity to play football, but it's still not going to be in the fall of your senior year.
Right.
It's still not going to be, you know, those first couple of games in beautiful weather. It's not going to be, there's no Thanksgiving game anymore. You know, so for them, I think it's really tough. They had, you know, hills and valleys that they had over the course of the fall. And then the assistant coaches, that's the hardest one, because they are stuck in between a rock and a hard place. A lot of my assistant coaches have family issues that because of what's going on with COVID, their kids are home, and it makes coaching very difficult. But the other part is no one's getting paid. So to ask them, you know, we've been allowed to do these practices. Why don't you give up this time in your life,
days a week,
come over here, and it's going to be for free. You know, that's a tough sell. So, you know, it's a good question, because on all three levels, it's very different.
I feel like I can ask you this, Jim, because you have empathy for all different levels. You're a disciplinarian, an authoritarian, an authority figure, you know, and a well-respected head coach. But when you talk about kids' experiences, you have a son who's a freshman in college who played football and had his senior year cut short. You have kids who had their spring cut short and had to leave. You know, they couldn't go in school. And now you have seniors on your team that hopefully will get to play, but as you said, they're missing out on stuff. The empathy there, how do I ask the question? It's not that you make something up and say and try to make up something for the positive, but there is something here that these kids are learning, and what I've learned from them is that they're incredibly resilient, and as much as they understand that they're missing stuff, they just keep moving forward. So do you get something in return from them with your positive attitude? Do they sort of reflect it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the kids are the most positive. There's, you know, you almost need to be there and you need to see it, because it's their faces when you cancel this, you know, very odd and non-football-like practice that we're having. But you're canceling it because it's raining out, and you would think that they would be happy about this because it's raining out, you know. And but to them, you're taking something away that is so precious because it's already been taken away. And you never see that. Like during the football season, it's such a grind. If you were to ever, and number one, you don't cancel anything because of rain, but if you ever did, it'd be a celebration. So that part, you know, that was really interesting, but really on everything, you know, every Zoom call you had to have where you were breaking the bad news, you know, it was difficult for the kids, but the resilience of the kids is the fact that they're constantly looking for ways to still be able to compete. They're constantly looking for ways to get better. You know, they'll be the first one to tell me, you know, if we have a software issue with something, computer program that gives the kids a workout, and if there's anything on that I hear about it right away, which means the kids are engaged, they're using it, and so, you know, they're a massive positive force, and you know, their parents too are doing a great job. And I think the whole thing, the key the whole time is to you know, you hate to say to hold out the carrot, but the carrot the whole time was this floating season, and still is. You know, that we're still hopeful that it's going to happen. And, you know, there's little benchmarks that have happened, I think, you know, we were talking earlier, the announcements about the vaccines and possible that the first deliveries could be out by December 12th, you know, that was met with, you know, glee. Obviously, I think the minute that they said that there can be and will be a basketball and hockey season makes you much more positive, because in the back of your head you think, all right, if they don't allow basketball and hockey, how and why would they ever allow football?
Right.
You know, what would be, what do you gain? So the minute they said that they can go ahead with those two sports, that, again, is another thing that kind of gets you going. And so I'm very positive about it now. You know, I think we're heading certainly in the right direction.
Final question about fall. Jim, you know, this session that you guys have been through, you have team building exercises ordinarily, and you have spaghetti dinners, probably the captains or whoever hosts them. How did you modify that this year? What did you do in place of that?
There's really not much you can do, and I know there's different things that we've done things on Zoom. Anything that we do, we try to do on Zoom. And even if it's something that normally you would text or maybe make a phone call to the captains about, we've still tried to do on Zoom because, again, just, you know, maximize the human contact. I think that's important. But little things that we were able to do is we were able to do little small youth clinics with quarterbacks and receivers, for example, where, again, you know, you can use an entire football field with 25 kids and really get everyone spread out and be safe.
Mm-hmm.
But to bring the seniors to that and have the seniors have, you know, the ability to stand there in front of a group of kids that are going to be their fans and, you know, say that I'm the captain or this is the quarterback or this is the whatever. You know, just those little things mean a lot to those kids because they remember being in those same clinics and meeting, you know, Will Quigley or Brooks Terrell and things like that. So I think that helped out a little bit, you know, but there's so few opportunities to do something where it's safe and where you're not putting, not just the football players at risk, but also the school's name at risk. You know, you don't want to, you know, have a headline in the paper that's anything other than about a win.
Yeah, and you know, kids will be kids, and that's always a dangerous note there. Let's turn to Thanksgiving, Coach, because I was just ruminating that I've been covering high school sports on radio since 1978, and I've not been home for very many Thanksgiving mornings, and I don't know what the hell I'm going to do on Thursday. I have no idea. My wife will probably kick me out of the house. But tell me a little bit about, as a player, as a fan, as a coach, as a parent, what's Thanksgiving football meant to you?
You know, it's especially now you appreciate it, because it gets almost after so many years in high school, college, coaching, it gets to be automatic is a good way to say it. It just is what it is. It's a horrible Thanksgiving when you lose. It's a wonderful thing, you know, everything, nothing is bad when you win, and that makes Thanksgiving really easy. But at the same time, you know, as a family member, you're almost removed from everything, and you don't sometimes see that, how much, you know, the night before Thanksgiving, when things are being cooked and made, you're on huddle, you know, looking at film. And you miss out on a lot of things. So this year, what's been neat for me is seeing everything that goes into, even though we've got this sort of truncated Thanksgiving, but, you know, I've never watched so much NFL football in my life, and I've never, you know, actually saw the turkey before it was cooked. But, you know, it's weird, but I think, you know, it's means so much. And I had one of our guidance counselors was speaking with me today, and she was used to be, before she was at Marblehead High School, she was at Boston College and worked with the football program there. And she was just saying something about just wanting to be at a football game, you know, or just be around it, or just, you know, you're so used to it. And I've had just a couple other, you know, folks come up to me and just say, I'm really going to miss just going there on Thanksgiving Day because it's what you do. And I think that it'll hit home on Thanksgiving. It will make it a little bit difficult, but you know, I we've had some great Thanksgiving games, and we're so fortunate at Marblehead to have Swampscott as a rival because it's just gone so back and forth, and we've had just great matchups. And that's another thing that we'll miss is, you know, there's always that, and it's so intense around this time of year, and you know, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, and it's the whole thing. It's, you know, the day the last game number 9 or 10 or 11, whatever it is, that last regular season game. And then you've got a week and a half to get ready, and then you've got the powder puff stuff, and you've got the rivalries, and you've got the captain's meetings or whatever it might be. And that, again, that's something else the kids are going to miss out on the one hand. But on the other hand, as you said, it's a new focus, and this will resume at some point. Now you mentioned, Jim, obviously the Swampscott-Marblehead rivalry. Is there a game or two that kind of pops out in your mind? Because, you know, in the last, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, you guys were always at the top of the league, so sometimes Thanksgiving doesn't mean anything in terms of the standings. But you guys have had some great games.
Yeah, obviously the 2009 and 2011 games, you know, for what they did for the football program, those are head and shoulders above the importance of any other Thanksgiving game that we played. And both teams, the game resulted in the winner would win the league.
Mm-hmm.
The game resulted in, someone going to the Super Bowl or at least, you know, getting a shot at going to the Super Bowl or the playoff. Long before we had this, you know, playoff system now, where a lot more teams get in. So those teams, I mean, those two games were crazy, and they both came down to the last minute. And, you know, the players that played in that game, you know, when I think back to those games now, this is where you can tell I'm getting old. But when I think back to those games, those kids were bigger than anyone that's in the league now. And I know you being from Gloucester, that is true, because Jim Eunice and like that, preachers like that were actually bigger than normal people. But in Marblehead, it just seemed like the guys and even the kids at Swampscott had, and it was just, you know, those were big, big games. But that being said, it's really hard. Last year's Thanksgiving game was nuts. And, you know, we were so beat up going into the game, and we were down after losing in the playoffs. Swampscott was on their way to the Super Bowl, and that they were a really good team. And so for our kids to rally, and we started a freshman. We had kids out there that I never in the beginning of the year would have thought would have played. Coach Serino did, you know, something I thought that was great. He played his starters the whole game, knowing that he was going to a Super Bowl, and the Swampscott kids played the hard. It was just a great game, and just we, you know, came up lucky in kind of the last play there. You know, I think there were 26 or 20 seconds left after we scored, but just that score at the very end of the game on a nice sort of 2-minute drive was, you know, that's fresh in my mind. And
yeah.
And that was just a phenomenal thing to be a part of.
All righty then. We've been talking with Marblehead football coach Jim Rudloff about Thanksgiving. This is MSO News Sports.